The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Today, I'm going to be dealing with, as we continue our series on Teshuvah, this is a word that I got in my spirit last night. In fact, we had a Bible study. A group of us came together in a home, and we studied the word of the Lord and prayed for one another. And this word really kind of leaped out at me, and I knew that I needed to share this on the broadcast today. So I'm going to be talking about putting your mouth where your faith is. Obviously, we're continuing in the season of Teshuvah, 40 days of Teshuvah. It began on Sunday at sunset, so we're already into this thing. We're almost a week into it. And it's never too late to jump on board, just to participate in this, seeking the Lord, seeking his face, pressing in and believing for the impossible for you and your family. So today, again, putting your mouth where your faith is. So I'm going to give you some scripture here that we're going to be talking about. And let me give you this verse of scripture. This is Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. And then once I read this, I'll tell you kind of where we're going and we're going to pick up from this. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? And that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. I need you to say this with me today. I want you to say, the word is near me, and it's in my mouth and in my heart. So mouth and heart. I'm going to show you today that there is a marriage between the mouth and the heart. And with the heart, one believes. And we're not talking about the organ that is beating and pumping blood through your body, but we're talking about from your heart, from your spirit, man. This is where faith rises up from. So there's got to be a marriage between your mouth and your faith, and it comes and generates from your heart. So watch this. The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. This is parentheses here. That is the word of faith which we preach. And look at verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So look at this. This is so powerful, guys. And anybody that has been with us for any length of time, you have heard me preach and teach and emphasize this over and over and over again. And you say, why do you preach this so much, Brother Ricky? Because listen, all breakthroughs, miracles, answers to prayers, anything that you're going to have in God and do through God, you have got to get this principle down, that there is a connection between the word in your mouth and your heart or faith. Listen, what it says, even your salvation had to come through the marriage of your mouth and your heart. Do you see that? With your mouth, you confess that Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead. And with your heart, you believe it unto righteousness. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So again, believe on the heart and confess with the mouth. Now, so here's the emphasis. Now I'm gonna read this. I didn't put this scripture up here. So I'm going to read this to you. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. Now, meditate here. It means believe in your heart. You chew on it. You visit it day after day. You continually say this to yourself. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He makes my cup to overflow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What am I doing? I'm quoting scripture. But you meditate on this day and night, the word of the Lord. Watch this. the book of the law, this book of the law, the word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do. Notice, now I want you to say this, say, observe to do. What am I talking about? Why am I telling you to do this? Because, watch this, faith is a direct response to the connection of your mouth and your faith or your heart. And you're going to see all three of these corresponding together today on this broadcast. So once you have, listen, when you start believing from your heart and you start confessing the word of the Lord and what God is going to do, then you begin to put action to that. You begin to put legs to your faith. And you begin to walk that out in your life. And now, I'm going to show you this. Let's just get right into this right now. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. So we know that she had an infirmity and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not getting any better, but rather she grew worse. Everybody sees this. Now, listen to this. Watch this. I'm going to show you all three of these working together. I'm going to show you the marriage of the mouth and the heart, believing for the miracle, and then action on her part. Ready? Verse 27. And when she heard about Jesus. Now, this just, guys, I can assure you, when she heard about Jesus, it wasn't that he was just some carpenter and he was the son of Joseph and the son of Mary, and he was a good guy. No, when it says here that she heard about Jesus, she had heard, come on, the testimonies began to circulate all through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost about the miracle working power of Jesus. She heard about the wedding and the wedding of Cana. She heard about the wine, the water turning into wine. She heard about Tabitha being sick and to death and Jesus and going and raise her from the dead. She heard about the young man and a coffin being led through the city and he was dead, and how Jesus just walked through the crowd and put his hand on the coffin and raised him from the dead. She heard about all these testimonies of what God was doing, and it was building up her faith and her heart to believe for the impossible. So it says that when she heard about Jesus, I heard about this Son of Man, the one who says is the Messiah, the one whom is the blind eyes are opening, the lame are walking, the deaf are hearing, the dumb are talking, and demons are being expelled from. She heard about this Jesus. So faith was rising up in her heart. Now watch this. Watch the next part. So she heard about Jesus. So then it says she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So here you see an action. You see faith from the heart and you see corresponding action. And by the way, the fact that she was bleeding the way she was, and she was willing to risk everything to press through a crowd to touch him. Guys, if she was to be found by the Pharisees because of where she was bleeding from, she would have been stoned to death because it was unlawful. Go read the book of Leviticus. But there was a corresponding action from her faith. Now, you say, well, what about the mouth, Brother Ricky? Oh, let's get to it. Ready? So she heard about Jesus, and then she acted upon it, and she pressed through the crowd to touch his garment. Look at verse 28 right there on your screen. For she said with her mouth, if only I may touch his clothes. Other translations say the hem of his garment. If only if I could touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. Notice that she didn't say, I could be made well. I might be made well. No, listen to me, friend. She knew. She had a rhema word from God. She, from the testimonies, eyewitness accounts of who this Messiah was and who this Jesus was, she let that penetrate her heart, and then she knew the Torah. And she likely began to understand enough about the Torah to know that this guy fits the bill of the Son of Man. So she believed on him. And before she ever left her house and pressed through the crowd and risked it all, she said with her mouth, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I know that this man can do more for me than what any physician has done, any specialist has done, and any medication could ever do for me, because it has not made me well. It's left me frustrated, and I'm still sick with this infirmity, and I've dealt with it long enough, and I know in my heart who this man is and who he says he is, and all I got to do is, if I could just get through the crowd, I don't have to get his attention. I don't have to have him call me out of a crowd. I don't have to have him know my name. All I got to do is reach out and from the ground and touch the hem of his garment, and I will be made whole." So how did it end for this woman? The Bible says in verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. Fountain of her blood. Guys, she was bleeding profusely, and it immediately dried up, and she felt her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now, do you see what I'm talking about today? With her heart, she believed. With her mouth, she confessed, and her actions corresponded with the marriage of her mouth and her faith. And of course, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" But his disciples said, "Look, the multitudes are thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched you?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman was fearing and trembling. Why was she fearing and trembling? Because according to the law of Moses, but the fact that she was bleeding and where she was bleeding and how she was bleeding, again, this was unlawful for her to be in public, let alone be pressing through a crowd of people, bleeding all over the place and touching a rabbi. But watch what he says. She fell down before him and told him the whole truth. In other words, she told him everything I'm telling you today. She said, "Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, the Son of Man. And I believe, because I believe in you. And I said before I ever left the house that if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I'll be made whole. And Lord, I know I am healed. Nobody can talk me out of it. I felt virtue and felt the power of God go through me." And Jesus did not deny it. He didn't ridicule her. He didn't rebuke her. Listen to this. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Wow. Wow. I'm trying to tell you, friend, we have got to come into agreement. Listen, there is three key components here that I just talked to you about. Number one, you have to believe in God. You have to believe. The Bible says those who come to God must first believe that he is. He is what? He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He is Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He is my righteousness. He is my right standing. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of Man. He is everything that I need and ever will need is in him, and it is possessed in him. Come on, somebody. Listen to what I'm saying today. Believe in God. The Bible says those who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Number two, you've got to open your mouth and come into agreement with God's word. Let me say that again. You have to open your mouth, and your mouth has to come into agreement with God's word, not your opinion, not the counsel of the ungodly, not the counsel of Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers of the law and religious people. Listen, religious people hate this kind of preaching and teaching. And they'll label me, oh, that's one of those word of faith preachers. No, listen, I've never been about trends or denominations, never been and never will be. You know what I am about? The almighty word of God. If I can't find it in this word, I won't preach it. I won't teach it. But everything I'm telling you today and preaching to you today and teaching today, I can find it in the word of God. The woman came into agreement with the Bible, the word of God, the Torah. There was no New Testament back then. She came into agreement with, come on, Exodus. This says, I am the Lord God, thy healer. She came into agreement with the word of the Lord. It says that healing is the children's bread. She came into healing into agreement with Psalms 91, verse 16, with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you the joy of thy salvation. She came into agreement with the word of the Lord that says, and he sent forth his word and he healed them. So she came into agreement. So she opened her mouth and her words came into agreement with God's word. Listen, you know, the reason why people attack this kind of preaching and teaching is because, listen to this, they don't know the will of God because they don't know the word of God. Let me say that again. People will attack preaching and teaching like this because they are not familiar with the will of God because they don't know the word of God. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the word of the Lord is. You need to know what the word of the Lord is regarding your situation that you're believing God for. We went over this in our last segment. You're believing God for a loved one to be saved. You got to know that it's the will of God that none perish and that all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means you can put that promise in your pocket and you can pray and you can intercede and you can believe and you can bombard heaven and come into agreement with God's word that it shall come to pass. And that goes for anything that you're believing God for. So number one, believe in God. Number two, open your mouth and come into agreement with the word of God. And number three, you are going to be required to act upon your faith and express your obedience in the word of God. Now, what does that mean? Listen, Naaman was a leper and he needed a healing. And when the prophet showed up, he said, how bad do you really want a healing? He said, I want it pretty bad. I'm paraphrasing this, by the way, without going into the word of the Lord. He said, I need this healing. He was concealing it under his armor. And the prophet said, okay, sir. He said, then you need to go out here to the river and dip seven times. But Naaman became offended because he wanted the prophet to just wave his hand or speak a word or lay hands on him. But there's sometimes, guys, that God is going to tell you to do something that's completely crazy. Well, I don't believe God would do such things. Really? The apostles took handkerchiefs from their bodies and passed them out and distributed them so that the people could have a handkerchief, and they were expelling demons and seeing people being healed of infirmities through a cloth that was anointed. Jesus went to a blind man. He didn't speak a word. He didn't lay hands on him. He spat in mud and rubbed it in his eyes. So don't tell me God will do unorthodox things, come on, that will shake and rattle your cage of theology, because he absolutely will. But the key is, once Naaman coughed up his own pride and said, you know what? This sounds ridiculous, but I really do need a healing. So he eventually succumbed to that, and he went out and he did exactly what the prophet told him to do. And guess what happened? He was healed. It reminds me of a story from the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida, where there was a man that was a Jew. He was Jewish, and he had an inoperable brain tumor, and it was so bad that his eyes would do this. They would rattle in his head back and forth, and it would make him throw up uncontrollably. But he had heard, listen to me, word got back that there was a move of God, and God was moving in Pensacola, Florida. And this guy lived in, I believe it was in upstate New York, and he said, if I could get to the meeting, I believe and I know that I'll be healed. So he went to his surgeon, his specialist, and he said, I'm going to get into a van and I'm going to go down there to Pensacola, to Florida. There's a move of God down there. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. People are getting set free, and people are experiencing a real legitimate move of God. And his own doctor rebuked him and said, if you get in that van and you go down there, I am not responsible for what happens to you. So he tried to persuade him not to go and discourage him not to go. But the man had made up his mind, if I could just get in the presence of the Lord, I know I'll be made whole. So they loaded him up in a van and they drove all the way to Pensacola, Florida. And he was throwing, because of his brain tumor, he was throwing, sorry to be blunt, I'm just giving you the truth of this without editing it. He was throwing up so much in the van that it was sloshing back and forth in the van. It was that bad. So they got him in a wheelchair. They pulled him into the service. And they got him into the service. And then the presence of God began to move mightily in the congregation. And all of a sudden, this man who had an inoperable brain tumor sitting in this wheelchair that was brought all the way from upstate to Pensacola, Florida, to Brownsville Revival, was in the presence of God in this wheelchair. All of a sudden, he let out a scream, oh my gosh, I'm healed. And he jumped up out of the wheelchair. And he was completely healed. His eyes no longer shook like this. He was stable. He was not throwing up anymore. He was not in pain anymore. He was not having neurological disorders. He was completely healed. So he gets in the van, goes back upstate New York, goes back to the doctor, walks in the door and says, I want an MRI or whatever scans it needs to be done to show you that I have been healed and made whole by the presence and the power of God. And of course, the doctor laughed at him. And the doctor says, if you do that, you're going to pay for that because I'm not paying for that. And he agreed to it. He says, give me it. I'll pay for it. He did. And there was no cancer traced in his body. God had completely, utterly made him whole. And you know what he did? He went and got as many of his friends who were also Jewish, packed them up in the same van again, took them down to Pensacola, Florida, and they all got saved. And today they're Messianic Jews. Come on, somebody. What am I talking about? I'm talking about he believed the testimonies in which he heard that was coming from Pensacola. He began to open his mouth and say and testify, I know if I can get there, I will be made whole. And he put his faith to action, even with the help of other people. Come on. The man who was a paralytic, he couldn't even get himself to where Jesus was. So he found four of his friends and says, get me on the bed, get the mattress, and take me to where he is. Because all I need to be is where he is. And as long as I can get where he is, I will come in with this bed. You may be carrying me into the service with the bed, but I guarantee you when I leave, you won't be carrying me any longer. And the Bible says they showed up, ripped the roof off the place, lowered him down, and he was made whole and left completely healed in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. The book of Job says in verse 22 through 27 through 28, I want to read this to you. Job 22 through 27 through 28. Here's what it says. Listen to this. You will make your prayers to him. He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing. I think I've got scripture for this. Let me pull this up, guys. Just bear with me for just a second. I know. Yeah, here it is. Let me pull this scripture up so you guys can have this. Because I was like, I know I've got this on PowerPoint. Let me read this in Job 22:27-28. I apologize for that. I got a little bit too excited there. So let me slow down here a little bit, put this up here. This is Job 22:27-28. Listen to this. You will make your prayer to him. And by the way, this is God speaking to Job. He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. In other words, you will keep your covenant with him. You'll keep honoring God. You'll honor him with your money. You'll honor him with your time. You'll honor him with your worship. You'll honor him by being obedient to the word of the Lord. Listen to this, verse 28. You will also declare a thing. Some translation says decree. You will decree a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. Guys, is that not powerful? Listen to Mark 11:22-24, and then I'm going to read another passage, and then I'm going to give you one testimony, and then we're going to close out today and pray for some folks. This is Mark 11:22-24. It's right here on your screen. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you that whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart." You see this again. Here's this marriage of the heart and the mouth. "But believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Guys, this is an absolute powerful passage of scripture. Absolute powerful passage of scripture. Now, let me give you another story in the Bible, and then I'm going to give you a testimony, and then we're going to pray. John chapter 4, here we go. John 4:46-53. Look at this. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water turn into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. Listen to this. Listen what it says of this man. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee. So again, he heard and he had faith. He went to him. Action. See that? He went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, other views of this you can find in Matthew, and I believe it's in Mark. Their gospel accounts of this story say that when this centurion came to Jesus and said, "My servant lay sick," or my son laid sick. Some say this is the same, and some there's others that say this is a different account. So I don't want to get to this whole theological debate. But nevertheless, there's this whole dialogue, because they kind of just, even if they are two separate accounts, they validate what I'm telling you today. And the other gospel account of this, he says, "You don't even need to come to my roof or to my house. Just speak the word only and it shall be done." But I'm going to read the rest of this in John 4:46-53. And then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Again, expressing that he had faith that Jesus is going to heal him. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." Notice that Jesus never stepped foot in his house. He just spoke a word only. "Go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, quote, your son lives. And then he inquired of them the hour in which he got better. And they said to him, so there's been a passing of time, 24 hours passed. Okay, watch, because I'm going to prove it to you. Verse 52, when he inquired them of the hour they got better, they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, and he himself believed, and his whole household. Guys, how powerful is that? So again, we see this marriage of the mouth and the heart, or where faith comes, faith and the mouth, and there is corresponding action with that. Now, many of you guys have heard this story probably several times, but we have many new people coming on here. Listen, when my family and I were praying, because we used to live in, we've kind of moved quite a bit actually in 21 years of our marriage. But our last move, we lived in the state of Indiana. I lived in Kentucky for 23 years. We moved away from Kentucky, and then we moved to Indiana, and we lived up in Tennessee for a season, and then moved back to Indiana so that my wife could finish her nursing degree. So we were there for a season, and then we got to a point where we knew that season was closing, and we were praying about where we would go in our next season. Where would the Lord have us to go? Because we knew we didn't have peace about staying in Indiana. We knew that that was not where we were going. And then, to make a long story short, we began to feel like we were, that God was leading us to move to the state of Georgia. So while we were praying about this, we knew, and we have some dear friends of ours that live down here, and they were really kind of encouraging us to step out and take that move. And in conversation, we said, well, before we could ever move there, we had a mountain of debt, and that mountain would have to be removed before we could ever take the transition from Indiana to Georgia. And guys, we're not talking about a small mountain. We're talking about student loans and a car loan. So it was a large debt. Somebody say large debt. Now, so what did I do? So when we really got serious about moving and taking that transition to Georgia, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, go into your secret place and pray in secret to your Heavenly Father, and your Heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So listen to me. Here's what I did, and here's what we did. We came into agreement, and we started believing that God was moving on our behalf. And here's what we, because listen, remember what I told you in Ephesians, it says, know what the will of the Lord is. There's some things, guys, that are black and white in the Bible that is the will of God. Other things, like what I'm telling you right now, where you're going to move, who you're going to marry, where you're going to work, those things have to come from prayer, fasting, intercession, and for you to get a rhema word of God. So listen, the black and white will of God is the logos, the written word. Other things, like I just spoke to you, personal things, where you're going to move, where you're going to work, what church you're going to go to, where you're going to go to, all these things, these come from a rhema word of God. So we knew this. And so this, when we begin to pray, we say, okay, God, we know and we feel like we're not going to stay here in the state of Indiana. So if, listen to this, watch how I'm praying here. If it's truly your will for us to move to Georgia, the state of Georgia, and plant our root and establish our roots there and thrive there and establish our goings there and what God has for us there, then you see the mountain. So what do we do? we begin to command and speak to the mountain to be removed. So we begin to speak to the exact dollar amount of the mountain. And in our private place, we would speak to that mountain, be thou removed in Jesus' name, because you are an obstacle. You are a hindrance, because there was no way possible, guys, that we could have made the move with that debt. So we begin to speak to the mountain. Now, listen, weeks went by, and another week went by, and another month went by, and then a few months went by. This was over a year went by. We kept speaking to the mountain, commanding the mountain. And then we had an attack come against our ministry, and it was a financial attack. And this is something, I'll be honest with you guys, I was really upset, got worked up about. And eventually I got to the point where I knew that I was not going to solve anything by me getting upset about it. So what did I do? I began to give it to the Lord in worship. Tears falling down my face. I was just praying to the Lord. God, this is uncalled for. This is an attack. I said, God, I give it to you. The battle is not mine, but it belongs to the Lord. And then I began to bind the devil. And I just declared that he would lose, he would be defeated, and that God would restore everything that the enemy is causing disruption in. Guys, I'm telling you, this was pretty nasty. And then listen to me. So I was in the heat of this battle. And then 2 weeks later, our ministry received an offering. And to make a long story short, it was one of two of the largest offerings our ministry has ever received in the history of our ministry. And the two offerings equaled the exact dollar amount of the mountain of debt that we were speaking against and speaking to be removed. Come on, somebody. And let me say that again. I don't think you heard me clear. Let me talk to the back row. I said that the dollar amount was to the exact dollar amount of the debt that we had been praying to be removed. What am I talking about? What am I talking about? I'm talking about you have to believe in your heart that he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Come on. He said, listen, if you have a covenant with him and you honor him, see, this is the key, guys. I want to tell you this. See, our ministry tithes. Our ministry, we honor the Lord in our tithes and offerings. What I didn't tell you, that all the while we were speaking to the mountain, we kept sowing. We kept giving to the work of the Lord. Why? Because I am going to act upon what I'm believing God for. So while we were believing to get out of debt for our ministry, I was helping other people get out of debt for their ministry. Come on, somebody. So as we were doing this, God moved on our behalf. And it all stemmed, watch this, from believing that he could do it, that he's Jehovah Jireh, and then speaking it out. There was a marriage between the heart and the mouth, faith and the mouth. And we began to speak to the mountain, and then we acted in faith. We was obedient to what God told us to do. So listen, that's where we're going to close today. Right now, we're not going to do announcements. We're going to push that off until we're done right here. Right now, while we're in this flow of this thing right now, I don't know who this is for. I don't know who's watching on the other end of the camera or listening on the other end of the microphone. Listen, this is not, don't worry. Listen, don't start sweating bullets, because we are not going to be one of those televangelists that tries to pump you up and get you all emotional and then tell you if you'll sow a seed of X amount of dollars, then God's going to do this and do that. We don't do that junk. That's manipulation. But here's what I am going to say. I believe in this season of Teshuvah, God is stretching some of you. Some of you, you've sat around your dinner table, you've sat in your church pew, you've sat in your office, you've sat in your living room with your wife and with your family and with your business partners and with your pastor and with your ministry, and you have you've talked and talked and talked. You know, I really wish, I'm really believing God for this, or I really hope this would happen, or I wish God would do this. Guys, listen, the woman with the issue of blood put up with it for years and years and years. She went to physicians. They couldn't help her. She went to specialists. They couldn't help her. She did it. She exhausted herself of every known resource that she could do. And she finally got to a point where she said, ain't nobody going to get me out of this. Ain't nobody going to help me but him and him alone. So I don't know who this is for today, but there's somebody watching this today. You need a genuine, legitimate miracle. Some people need a healing. Some people need a breakthrough. Some people need a debt. Some of you all has got a mountain of debt and you need it removed. Listen, I can't speak to your mountain. You have to speak to your mountain. You have to get in your prayer time. You have to open your mouth and speak to that mountain and command it to be removed. In fact, let's do that right now, right where you're at, while you're watching this. Listen, you're not going to disrupt me because I can't hear you. I need you to open your mouth. I need you to begin to speak to your mountain, whatever you're believing God for. If you need a healing in your body, you need to speak to your body. I speak to that tumor. Speak to that diagnosis. Speak to that disease. Speak to that infirmity. Command it to go. Command it to dry up and die in Jesus' name. Speak to that mountain of infirmity and command it to go in the name of Jesus. Come on, open your mouth right where you're at, in your office, in your car, in your living room, wherever you're at. Begin to speak to that mountain. If you need a debt release, speak it out. If it's $25,000, say, speak to it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I call in $25,000. I speak to this mountain to be removed. I call it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call it in from the east and from the west and from the north. I call it in checks and refunds and bonuses and inheritances and promotions and increase. I call it in Jesus' name. Well, that's that word of faith stuff. Listen, if you don't want the breakthrough and you don't want the blessing, get out of the way so somebody else can get their breakthrough. Come on, we don't need your unbelief. We need an atmosphere of faith. The Bible says that Jesus could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. I need some people today on this broadcast that would believe God for the impossible. You need, listen, if your marriage is in shambles and the counselor's giving up on you, the church is giving up on you, your family's giving up on you, you said there's no hope, but you deep down in your heart, you said, I am not giving up on my marriage. You need to dig down deep, begin to open your mouth and say what God has joined together. I refuse to let any devil pull asunder. I refuse to let any person, any Jezebel, any Delilah, any devil from hell pull us apart. Come on, open your mouth and decree for your marriage. Open your mouth and declare for your children. Speak blessing over your children. Come on, speak the blessings of the Lord over your children. Command your household to be the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath, to be going over and not under. You shall lend and not borrow. I wish somebody would come into agreement with the word of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who empowers you to make wealth. God gave you that ability. God gave you those gifts. God gave you those talents, not so you can sit on your rear end and hope that your ship comes in one day. No, come on, man, get up, get out of your seat and begin to put legs to your faith. Some of y'all, God, listen, you're in some bad soil. You've got great expectations. You've got a great heart for ministry, but you're in some bad soil. What do I mean by bad soil? Listen, a plant can only grow to the capacity of the pot that it's put in. So listen, that's why God moved us. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm just going to testify for a minute. That's why God had to uproot us from the state of Indiana. Nothing against all my family, my friends in Indiana. I love you. But listen, you got to be obedient to God. But God knew that for me to go to the next level with End Time Headlines, we had to get out of the pot of Indiana so that he could plant us here in the state of Georgia. And it's interesting because when we get here to the state of Georgia, what I didn't know that I know now is there is a great media influence here. The Weather Channel's here. The CNN News is here. I mean, that's not really a great example, but it is an example. But the point is, there's voices. There's a media voice here over the airwaves. And I believe, Listen, I believe our ministry is just now stepping into the fullness of what God has for it. And it's going to keep expanding and keep enlarging. But it would have never happened if we would have stayed comfortable in the state of Indiana. Thus, that's why I prayed and said, and here's the thing, guys. Anytime God's in it, he will do it for you. He's just wanting you to come and partner with him. He's wanting you just to agree with him right now. And I understand the frustrations. I feel that right now in my spirit as I'm watching. There's people that are frustrated. You're frustrated with the infirmities. You're frustrated with the seasons of lack. And you're frustrated with everything that's going on. But I'm telling you, God is not moved, nor is he shaken by the circumstances of the world. He is still on the throne. He's still in control. And he's still God. He is still who he says he is. He's just looking for, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord running to and fro over the entire earth, looking for someone he can show himself strong through, whose heart is turned towards him. Come on, do I got anybody today whose heart is turned towards him, who's believing for a miracle and partnering with him? I'm telling you right now, here's what you, again, open your mouth, profess that, believe that. And now here's the next part. I'm going to close with this. God is going to begin to stretch you. He's going to make you put legs to your faith. I don't know what that looks like for you. He's going to call you to do something as an expression of your faith and act. He told the woman of the issue of blood, you're going to have to risk it all. I know you can be stoned by going in public bleeding, but you're going to have to risk it all. The man who had the brain tumor that I talked about, he had nothing to lose. The one with the issue of blood had nothing to lose. She was going to die anyway. And she said, if I stay, I die. If I press through and touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole. I choose the latter. The man with the inoperable brain tumor said, if I just stick around here and listen to all the naysayers, I'm going to die of this thing. But if I get in the van and get to where he is, I can live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So he chose the latter. So listen, it's probably going to cost you maybe everything. It may cost you your reputation. It may cost you and stretch you financially if he tells you to sow a seed. Listen, you don't have to sow it to our ministry. You can sow it to your own church. I'm not about that. Listen, I trust God. God is taking care of our ministry. I'm not in about manipulation. I'm into this thing to tell you that God moves by your faith and partnering and believing the word of God and expressing and opening your mouth and decreeing what God's word says about your life. Come on, do you believe that today? Let me pray for you real quick, and then we're going to give you some information on our ministry. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have released, Lord, this word that you have placed in my heart. I believe your word will not return void. I believe it will go forth and it will establish that what is sent forth to do. Lord, I believe and I partner with people today that are in agreement for their miracles, for their breakthroughs, for their healing, for their deliverance, and for their captivity to be set free, Lord, for salvation of loved ones, for prodigal sons and daughters to come home. Whatever they're believing God for, whatever they're believing you for, God, I stand into agreement with them that what they decree based upon your word and your will, it shall be done unto them, not because of my opinion and not because of their opinion, but because of what the almighty word God of word of the Lord says today. And I thank you, God, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what, and you are a God of miracles today as you were then. And you will always be, because the Holy Spirit will always be until the time of the end. So I thank you, God, that you're moving upon people on this broadcast. Lord, I thank you, Father, that answers to prayers are coming. And I thank you that what is being prayed in secret shall be made manifest openly, and people will rejoice in Jesus' name. Guys, now real quick before I give you these announcements, right when I prayed that, listen, if God, everybody listening by Facebook Live, by YouTube, and even on podcasts, if God does a miracle for you, a breakthrough, a healing, a deliverance, what you're believing God for, if he answers your prayer, we need to hear from you. They need to hear from you. You need to hear from them. Why? Because the Bible says we overcome the devil by the word of the Lord and the word of our testimony. So we need these testimonies to circulate. Why? Because it builds faith. Because when one person gets a breakthrough, everybody else becomes a candidate for a breakthrough. You get a healing of sugar diabetes, somebody else can get a healing of sugar diabetes. Somebody gets a breakthrough. Listen, the fact that God supernaturally moved in our finances and gave us that massive, amazing breakthrough, guess what? He's no respecter of person. If he did it for us, he can do it for you. So that's why we need to hear from you. So please let us know in the comment section, email us, contact. There's a contact form on our main website, whatever the case would be. Please let us hear from you so that we, so individuals can be blessed by your testimony and that we can give God the glory. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's our main website. That's where you're going to find us. That's where we're located. If you have not yet downloaded our free app, please today go to the app store, get that app, get it on Apple, get it on Android, get it into your hands, push yes to push notifications so that you can be notified of all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest podcast. You'll hear that down on the bottom where it says listen, or you can watch it. When you click the watch button, you'll see a video of it with the scriptures and all that stuff. And you'll be able to see the visual of that. So we all that's available to you guys for free, again, by taking and downloading the app. Now, if you would like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, or if you would like to become a monthly partner, we ask you to pray about that, whatever the Lord puts upon your heart. And listen, we trust and believe that if you've been blessed by this ministry on a weekly basis, then listen, you'll want to give. Paul said, give generously. Listen, when we tithe out of this ministry, we desire to, we enjoy that. I enjoy giving the missions. I enjoy giving to the widows and to the orphans and to the needy and establishing other churches. And we sow into that. And guys, you're partnering with that as well. When you sow into this ministry and we take a tithe of that and sow it out, you're helping that too. So it's all just a funnel. It's just a channel of blessing. You know, the word of the Lord says, cast your bread upon many waters and it shall return unto you after many days. So we want to give you that opportunity. You can do that by two different ways. You can give electronically and you can give by the app or by the main website. When you click on the donate button or support or partner with, there's many different ways you can do that on the app or on the main website. When you do that, it's going to take you to a page where you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. And you can do that by making the check out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Real quick, guys, you guys on Facebook Live that are watching this and on YouTube, when you're watching this, it's real easy. Right there in the description on Facebook Live or on YouTube, it says right there where it says support ETH or partner with ETH. And it also says free app. So there's links right there. You can where you can give and where you can download the app. The link is right there in the description. So it's easy to find and locate. So as always, guys, we appreciate you taking the time out today. We're going to be back on tomorrow. We'll either have another message for this test you ball season, or we will shift gears and we will discuss a prophetic viewpoint, something or events or event going on in the world that we feel like we need to discuss that's relevant to the times and seasons which we're in. But either way, Lord willing, we will be back on here tomorrow. So until then, we appreciate you. And guys, tomorrow, I'm trying to do this about every Friday. We've got letters from many of you guys who have contacted us through mail or that give or sow or partner with us through the mail. And some of y'all has given us gifts. We're going to take some time out tomorrow and we're going to publicly thank you for that. So we're going to try to do that every Friday when we sign off for the week. So be looking for that. Because again, we appreciate all of our partners and our supporters of our ministry. So we love you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.